All right, we are now ready for another social marketing hour. And today I have a special guest that I have been seeing his content since before I knew what the word marketing meant. This individual is somebody that I believe to be one of the greatest marketing minds the world has seen. And he's been doing this for probably close to 50 years or more. And it is a pleasure to have you here today with us in the AGM Marketing Headquarters. Mr. Artie Marin, thanks for being here on the show today.
You're very welcome. Thanks. You know, with that introduction, it seems as if I was doing my marketing on stone tablets, you know, and sending them out. But it has been a half a century.
Wow. You probably have so many stories to tell, having seen also the industry dramatically change time and time again, right, to where we are here today.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you have adjusted yourself quite a bit. You recently reached out. We connected in our church, and we got to sit down, and you got a copy of my book. Before you got a copy of my book, I think the day you got a copy of my book, you schooled me, and you spent a good half an hour telling me, I don't do that well, Artie, getting corrected. I don't do that well. But, you know, when I respect the person, yeah, I'm blown away by it. And I respect you. Like, it's very difficult for staff to approach me to tell me that I'm doing something wrong. They have a tough time doing so. Yeah. But when they earn the respect, I'm really open. And you blew my mind. You blew my mind. It was incredible. You know, it's like there's this quote that I use a lot in the world of business and marketing is, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And just the brilliance. I was joking with you before the staff meet, before we started, that I felt I had to cut you a $10,000 check at the end of that half an hour session. I changed my titles, the front cover, and then you went deeper into the book and things that I needed to do to get that content, which is good content, and really make it digestible for people to really get the value from it. So I just thought that it would be amazing to have you on the show today and just talk about marketing, talk about your journey, talk about your story, and also talk about what you're up to these days.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, the book is going to be a great book. It's important that it has the greatest impact because your message is fabulous. And by the way, to pick up on one thing you said about the changes, I can tell you the changes in one word: speed. You know, in the old days, it was forever. You know, I mean, we're talking about mail, right? Like, you put something in an envelope and you send it, and, you know, and in fact, postcards, which is still done this day, you know, but it was much slower. Now we're talking instant reaction, and that's your expertise, how to create that instant reaction. And that is not easy. Some people think, like, well, you can do that on volume. You know, if you send it enough and you send enough people, then, you know, and they're missing the fact that AGM and you target, you know, it takes expertise.
So speed is a very crucial word. Huge. In marketing.
Yeah.
Has it always been crucial? If you go back to 1970s when you were doing marketing campaigns, Artie?
No. I mean, we're talking about in those days, it might be a postcard or a mailer once a week. And of course, you didn't know whether they got the mail necessarily, or they threw it away, or, you know, and it was expensive and so on. So you had to be really, you know, marketers who made it in those days were really good at their work because they tracked it in terms of response and they watched it real close. But it was long. You know, I'm reminded one of my early clients was Howard Ruff. And that's not going to be known by most of your listeners, but Howard Ruff was the gold king, and gold was a big deal in early 70s. Wrote a book, I forget the name of it, but it was about gold, bestseller. And I was hired to help his marketing, and I immediately went to do a survey because that was also relatively new. I mean, yeah, there were marketing agencies who were surveying, but not the regular business owner, you know, the normal guy or gal. They just sent out promo, whatever. And so we did a survey, which I'm very proud of even this day, because Howard Ruff was looking for investment in gold. And I crafted this question, which was, if you had an eighth day, of the week. What would you do with it? And that was designed to get a response that said, oh, I'd go fishing, or I'd go out in the mountains with my family, or whatever. So we were able to target the fact that if you buy gold, it's going up, and you'll be able to go fishing and whatever. But that was another factor then, speed, survey, those are two of the main things I can think of right offhand.
Well, that's great. So how have you adjusted to how short of attention span in this era we have? Like when you think about the social media world, supposedly the numbers have went down to 6 seconds, like attention span. Like people don't want to watch things, listen to things, or pause. I know you have these Wednesday webinars that you do every week that are short 16, and to the point, 16 right?
Minutes.
16 minutes, right? So what major changes would you recommend? Let's say somebody is an influencer. They're trying to get attention of people. They're trying to impact people with their content, with their message. What advice would you have for them in this era of...
Well, let me tell you a story about Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was asked, if you're going to give a talk for 3 hours, how long does it take you to prepare? He said, oh, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. They said, what if the talk was 5 minutes? How long would it take you to prepare for that? He said, 3 or 4 hours. So the point I'm making is the shorter the time span, the more preparation.
Interesting.
Because you have less time to make an impact. An impact, you know, I call it eye contact, right? In live events, it's eye contact, right? But what we're doing, it's eye contact, meaning impression, impact, those kind of eyes, right? And of course, ultimate eye is the sincerity. If you're not prepared, you don't have the power behind your message. So you don't get a lot of the person.
Mm.
The beauty of live activity, and I've seen you perform, the beauty of live activity is it's live. They can feel it. You can't feel a video. If you're good, you can get it across, but it's not quite the same. But even with video or whatever the case may be now, it's preparation, right? Yeah, you can wing it, but if you're winging it, you better have a bunch of years behind you.
Right. So that leads me to a specific question about me, because you've seen me perform, like you said right now.
Right.
You can probably coach me. I can probably just sit down with you and talk for hours a day, mm-hmm. right? I don't know if I can afford you. I can try. Mm-hmm. But Artie, in my case, I don't prepare. I don't. I wing it. And I usually do a decent job of it. It's not my opinion of it. I get people to buy the stuff that I sell, and it happens consistently. So that is my evidence. My evidence is like, are people interested enough in what I'm saying that they buy my stuff? Maybe it's because of the years that I've been on it. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that I prepare for the webinars. I prepare for that a lot. That takes me, I deliver a 2-hour webinar, maybe an hour and a half webinar. And it takes me 6 hours to prepare that webinar. That's true, right on that case.
You're winging it in front of a live audience, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So you're not really winging it. See? Because when you're in front of a live audience, you're getting feedback. You're getting hints flow from the audience where you can tell, oh, I'm on the right direction. I'm. And when you're on the right direction, it puts you even more on the direction. Now you have momentum, right? The reason that you prepare for the video is there is no feedback, you see. So you've got to be right on the mark.
Right. You blew me away yesterday, Artie. And I want to tell the audience about this, because it's going to be very practical for any of you watching this. And in my case, writing a book, this is applicable to anything, right? Applicable to any area of life. If you're creating a business from scratch, if you're doing a marketing plan, et cetera, there's ways for you to make it better and to optimize it. In my case, I have been writing this book for a good 18 months. It has somewhere around 80,000 words on it. And I was very proud of it. I really was. I really felt like I had something very, very special. It takes courage and also confidence mm-hmm. for somebody to really get in front of you and tell you, hey, listen, like you told me yourself yesterday, your intro sentence to me was, I'm not going to let you launch that book. And I'm like, what's going on, Artie? And I pulled the strings. I asked more questions. And then you broke it down. And every single thing that you said was genius. It really was genius. And I want to share that with the audience, because when they read the book, they're going to see, obviously, the other, because we're fixing the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not rewriting it. I am streamlining it. Right. Going back to the first part of our conversation, speed. And also out of respect for the person that is reading that book, because I want to protect their time. I want to make sure that they're themselves, when they're reading that book, they every single minute that they dedicate to that book is having a return on investment, right, of that particular time. So you said four things that stand out to me, all right? And this is going to be applicable to any of you. Number one, I repeated myself too much, right? It's true. It is a fact. The more that I think about throughout the book, writing in different sections of my life, because I do happen to have somewhere around 250 employees and CEO roles and president roles in other companies, plus everything else that I have going on, that I have to close a chapter and start writing another one months later sometimes. Mm-hmm. I did not just disconnect in an ivory tower and write the book. I did it for all different periods of my time. So I didn't think about it, but I actually wrote over and over again and probably told a lot of stories together. Mm-hmm. So the job of the editor is to come in here and be like, let's just remove that. Right. That was brilliant. I thought about maybe possibly, who knows how many 25, 40, 50 stories that I repeated on that book. So we got to just bring it down. The other thing that you mentioned was the length of the runway, right? So for any of you that are watching this podcast session or listening to it, it is a very valuable point. The reason why Dr. Eric Berg, the reason why Frank Suarez, the reason why a lot of these people that I work with, that I worked over the years are so good, is because they get to the point fast. Mm-hmm. They don't want to waste people's time. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure that, hey, I have your attention. Let me get to the point fast. So my runway in some of these chapters was too long until I got to the value. You also said that 50% of that book was where the value was at. But the first 50 doesn't have, there's too long of a runway. So we got to sprinkle a lot of that 50% value throughout the entire book. So we're getting that adjusted across the board. And you also said that I jumped. Again, this is all like genius for content creation, period. Mm-hmm. All these four points are applicable for anybody that wants to create content, because you also said that on a chapter, I jumped from subject to subject. So sometimes I will go into another chapter and mix them all together. And that takes away from the uniqueness of that chapter. That by itself is brilliant. The other thing about that is when you're a content creator and you press record, you're prepared to deliver one subject. Mm-hmm. Like if you think about your Wednesday 16-minute sessions, mm-hmm. they're giving people one particular point, one value, and driving that point home. So for me, I was electrified, and I want to thank you for that. And I really feel that that's going to be a game changer, because I'm going to be able to deliver the value and the dream that I have for this book. So that was brilliant to see how you operate on that particular area.
Thank you for that.
And it revolves around the same thing, right? It revolves around like the speed and just getting to the point and just respecting people's time, right?
Right, exactly. You know, there's another point about that too, and that is sequence. You know, it's not only that if you have a chapter, you're going to talk about that chapter. But even throughout the book, things run in sequence. The human mind is comfortable with things in sequence. This follows this, follows this. And if they're doing, you know, A, B, and then R, you can get away with it. But it's a little bit, oh, what happened to C? And so it sticks them a little bit. So I'm a real big fan of sequence.
Of course.
And that sequence has to be the right runway. Well, how do you know that? Well, you learn that from your public. Again, going back to the difference between the live event or those that are doing email marketing and all of that, right? So the more you know about that public, the better you're able to deliver that message. And then, of course, it's ready, fire, aim. We're not talking about surveying for the next 4 years, right? It's ready, fire, aim. One of the greatest surveys is, I shot this out, what happened? I'm not going to spend $14 million on that shot. I'm going to keep it on the cheap, get my response, tweak it. Oh, I got a bigger response. That's what I did with Howard Ruff, by the way, on that postcard that I told you about, which was a postcard. That question, when I first got approached to him, I asked him how many postcards he's going to do. You'll like this. How many postcards are you going to do? He says, we're going to do about 1 million. Now, this was 1971. He said, 1 million postcards. Do you know how much money that is? And he said, no, you're missing the point, Artie. I'm not going to send out 1 million postcards on the first mailing. I'm going to do 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 postcards. I'm going to watch the response. I'm going to tweak it a little bit. If it's working, I'm going to send out 10,000 postcards, you know, and then 20,000. And that's basically how it was in the marketing with materials and no electronics, you know. And it's funny, I never thought I'd be sitting here, you know, talking about the old days or the, you know, times gone by when we used paper, you know.
But it's very important because it's it shows us also all any marketer, or any business owner that wants to learn, that's anybody that's watching this right now or listening to this, the same basics are applicable today. You can't just go deep into a marketing campaign without enough data that is working or not working. And that's a good segue for this subject. First of all, let me ask you this, Artie, how many books have you written yourself?
Three
books, okay. And what is the best-selling book that you have?
What is it called? The Natural Laws of Management.
The Natural Laws of Management. They can find that on Amazon and anywhere, right? Yeah. Brilliant stuff, right? So in, because you don't only talk about marketing, your subject is like management of business, right?
Well, this is, there's a short story connected to it. You know, I began my career, so to speak, as a performer, which is another reason why I'm sensitive to audience. You know, it's not all about you or me, it's about them, right? So in 1960, I had a hit record. We were in the top 20. Appeared on all the major television shows, and I learned audience. We did live events with 10,000 people. And then I became a dancer, which I think you know. I'm not sure, but
I did not know that part.
I was a professional salsa dancer.
Wow. So you still got some skills?
Oh, yeah. I still do it. Some of my performances are on YouTube.
That's awesome. Send them to you. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. And so that gave me even more direct, you know, it's one thing if you're on a stage and the audience is out there and there's thousands, but when you're performing as a dancer, you've got a crowd close to you.
Right.
You know, I'm very proud to say that I was brought up at the Hollywood, at the Palladium in New York, which was the home of salsa, basically. So again, learning more about the audience, and then I got into management by accident. I had a knack for kind of getting to the bottom of things quickly. And I was at a dinner actually with one of Michael Butler's executives, which was the producer of Hair, which was a show a long, long time ago, 1972, 73. And he told me he had a problem. And I was doing marketing at the time. I wasn't doing management. And I said, oh, you know, I think I know what's going on. And I drew out an organization chart, right? And how things should flow. And I did it on the napkin. And he looked at it and he said, can I have that napkin? Said, yeah, be my guest. Take the napkin. I didn't think anything of it. But when he got back to Chicago, I got a call. Just showed this to Michael Butler. We need you to come here and be a consultant. I said no, because I wasn't a consultant. But then I thought, okay, let me take a shot at it. And I went. That was the start of management.
Mm.
And management, I did and still do to this day with a lot of marketing, but I learned in management that many business owners are using the management side to hide the inefficiencies they have in marketing.
Mm.
In other words, they're going to organize things so well somehow that word of mouth will help them come and so on. And here's the biggest point. And this is a point for you too in your I don't prepare for live seminars. It's what you don't know, meaning you do great. You get people, they sign up. Compared to what? Well, compared to some other guy, compared to that, compared to what I did last year.
How about the potential?
Exactly.
How much more
that's
is being left on the table?
Exact word I was going to use, right? We don't know the people you didn't get right? Because they didn't quite get it, and maybe it wasn't prepared enough. And it's the same thing with the marketers now, or the people who are managing, and they're doing okay. But I always say, compared to what?
Correct. Because you can always improve, period.
Exactly.
You can always get better. Just never ends. The moment that you start feeling like, oh, I'm so good at it already, that I don't think I can improve, that's the moment that start going downhill.
Of course. You know, that's the problem with old marketers, if I can say it that way, because they're stuck in some ways. And you say, yeah, but it works. You know, I've been doing it for years. This is what I do. It works. Yeah, but again, it works compared to what?
You see? That's right. So that's great.
You know, that's the message.
That's awesome. Artie, I want to talk a little bit about a subject that I'm really, really weak in and you're strong in. You mentioned this earlier. That's the word survey. And I know you're a big advocate for surveys. You like to get data from audience, from prospects, from clients. First of all, can you define for the audience, what is a survey in your own words?
Well, first I'll say that I've been doing webinars and seminars for over 50 years. I don't think I ever did a live event where I didn't have a survey. But now let me answer your question. In order to get to the mind of the audience, you have to have some idea of the range of motion or reality, emotion or reality of that person. And the best way, I'll give you a good example. I was doing a talk to the California Veterinary Medical Association. I got there early, and it was a talk on marketing. This one's from 1980. And somebody came early, right? Older vet, you know, doctor. And he said, oh, you must be the speaker. I said, yeah, because it was just me and him in the room. And I always get to events early. So he says, yeah, you're the speaker. Yeah, yeah. What are you going to talk about? Marketing. Oh, nobody knows. Nobody knows. And I said, well, I beg to differ with you. What? You know? No. I'll tell you who knows. Your patient knows. Your customer knows. They know what they need to hear to influence them. You need to pull that out of them.
Mm.
See, what could be easier than asking somebody in so many words, what do I need to say or do or act, and at what emotional level in order to get you to buy my product? And if you do that, you know, in an expert way, they'll tell you. So now they say, well, this is how I would buy your product, or this is why. And then you repeat it back to them in an artistic way. You can't impress the audience unless you know the clay they're made of. When I say impress, if you take a leaf and you put it against the clay, it leaves an impression. Well, what's marketing? It's favorable impression.
Right.
So rather than hit and miss, if you can determine beforehand the most likely way to impress them, and by the way, that includes emotion, it includes speed. How do you, you know, I gave a talk once to the in Sweden into the prisoners at Malmo prison. Do you think I walked in and said, "Hi guys, Artie Marin here, good to see you. All right, we're gonna get right with it." Now these guys were half dead. So by observing that, first thinking, what kind of shape are they going to be in? Secondly, when I observed them beforehand, and then when I walked in, we're talking about, you know, first of all, they didn't even want to be there. Secondly, you know, whatever. So what did I do? It took a minute before I said anything. Slow.
You try to get down to their level. Yeah. Approximate where they were at.
I'm trying to... The artful word is duplicate. I want to duplicate them, okay? Which is why they were all sitting. I didn't stand. Right? I sat. And I was able to reach them. And what did I talk about? Do you think I talked about the flower show? No. Death. Okay? What is death all about? I've been thinking about that. And this would be the meter, you see, of how I went about. Well, that's making an impression. And, you know, it was the worst performance I've ever done from that view. But the feedback, this guy knows what he's talking about, man.
Totally. Yeah.
You could be just an inch off from gold. You got silver. Hey, I'm happy. Man, look at this. We're up 40%. Okay, but...
How about 70%, right?
Whatever.
Right. How about 100% growth, et cetera? Right. It's for me, I'll tell you, just being very transparent with you, my concern with survey sometimes. Like, people tell me, you should survey the title of the book. You should survey just about the something that I'm going through right now. You should survey the cover of the book. I don't want to hear people's opinion on that. I don't want to send this thing to 100 people and then have them tell me, oh yeah, I don't like it. I mean, I think it would be look better if it's green or red or blue, or maybe if you had a unicorn in the front cover, or yeah, marketing magic. Just I don't want to mm-hmm. hear that. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying. And it goes back to, I've been in the marketing game already, as you know, already somewhere around a decade. 7 years is the history of AGM marketing by now. Mm. I've succeeded to an extent, quite a bit. You read almost all my book, right? Mm-hmm. And so you know my story quite a bit. The one thing that I really haven't done a good job of is survey. And I go back, I keep thinking about this Henry Ford quote. I don't know if you know which one I'm talking about, right? Right?
Yeah.
If he would have surveyed people on what they wanted, they would have said they wanted a faster horse, right? So I just keep on thinking about that. So tell me what your thoughts are on this.
Okay.
I really feel that this is a massive missed opportunity with the example that you gave me. Going to the audience and being like, please tell me what I can say to convince you of earning your business. What are the things that you're looking for to resolve? That's probably a humongous gold mine waiting to be excavated right there. Right. I'm all in for that. I think it's an underutilized tool. And if I just figure that out, I'm going to be able to create marketing campaigns that help me get those people on board consistently, because I'm talking based on what they need and want. That's powerful. But then on the other side of things, I have this marketing mind and this vision that sometimes I know how to communicate it. And it succeeded. Like, to a degree, it has succeeded, right? So I know it could be better. Like you said, it could be a lot better. What are your thoughts on just selecting?
Okay.
I just don't want to hear people's opinion on my book.
I understand.
On my title, or the title of my book.
I understand.
I picked the title of the book. It's okay. My selection.
Okay, I got it. You're half right.
Okay.
Let me give you an example of why you're half right. Let's say it's 1964, and you're a music manager, agent in New York. And in the office comes these four kids with long hair. It's laughable, long. You know, then it was like down here, right? It's not even long. But then, trust me, when I first saw them and when they first arrived, it was shocking. Okay? No male had long hair, you know, that I knew, and I knew a lot of people. But let's say they walk in and they say, you know, we want to get a record contract. And you say, okay, well, you know, first thing, you got to cut your hair, man. I mean, that's not going to go in the United States. And what's the name of the group? Oh, we're the Beatles. Beatles. It's a bug. You can change your name. So there's a lot of power in fact, I want to tell you, the highest moment of your book is when you titled it. That was the biggest power of that book, right? Now, if you entitled it, you know, how to lose money with it, you know, then you better survey, right? But your title is your title. That's the power, right? You have to own it. And what I mean by that is that If somebody says to me, well, I want to name the book XYZ, and they tell me, like, without any, you know, kind of like, oh, and I'm also thinking of this name. Yeah, well, we better start surveying, because there's no root to this. There's no real source, right? But if somebody comes and says, and I think I've done that. I mean, I know what you mean about survey. I named The Natural Laws of Management on my first book. And I was told to survey it. And I didn't want to, because I didn't want people to tell me that it wasn't the right name. But I said, all right, you know, fine, you know. And I always thought, eventually, if I don't like it, I'll name it that way. I'll just do it anyway.
Correct.
But it turned out to be a winning name, right? Colors are a little different. If you don't have a certainty, remember, you're going to be asking people about their opinion about a subject of which you are an expert. So, you know, I mean, titles make sense.
It's a good point.
Would I survey the content of the book? Yes. Here are my chapters. What do you think? What does this make sense? Do you, what impression do you get from chapter 5, which says XYZ? Does that communicate to you? No, actually, I don't really know what that's about. Okay, well, I got to fix that.
Yeah, that's right, because we take for granted our knowledge, and right. Sometimes we write things out and we feel it's just common, right. And then somebody might not understand it. Right. And since we're serving them, we should make sure that they understand
it. We have to distinguish between the art and the techniques. You have artists, I mean, do you think Van Gogh or Beethoven, you know, who's running around surveying, you know, to see, is this note better than that note? They put it there, you see? And it either worked or it didn't work. Now, sometimes work goes out there, it didn't fly. You got to sit back, because being humble is a big marketing characteristic. I know I'm right. We put it out there. Nobody bought it. Well, you know, I don't want to say you're wrong, but nobody bought it. So you're going to have to go back and fix it up, right? That's a humbleness.
Of course.
Right?
Except when you failed at it, right? And you got to get back to the drawing board.
That's what I love about marketing. There's no, if I can say, bullshit. It either worked or it didn't work.
Correct.
You know, you can't say, yeah, but you know, it was the wrong time of year. And it didn't. Well, if it was the wrong time of year, you should have known that. You know, but that's probably not it anyway.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, survey-wise, there's lots going to be done. And you named one. When you're up in front of that group, that's a time to run an electronic survey immediately.
Get data.
You know, hey, go to your phone, click on this. Okay, what all of my seminars for 50 years, they get a survey to fill out at the end. But here's the trick. They don't fill it out at the end. How many people do you know, and maybe you've done this, where you do your talk and you say, now, by the way, I have a survey for you to fill out, but you ended the talk. Half of them are out the door.
Right.
They're not going to do that.
They close the cycle on that. It's over.
I don't end. Right? I say, okay, now, I have 3 more points to share with you. Vital. Before I do, take a look at your desk. There's a survey. Let's fill it out. And I'll take a minute, and then I'll share those 3 points. So I got everybody staying.
So you get 100% pretty much conversion on that.
Yeah, and when I get 99, it's my favorite thing. I hope I find somebody there who didn't fill it out, because there's people who are like, I don't do surveys. Okay. So I watch, and invariably, there's at least one or two who are like, so I go over and I say, hey, you didn't do your survey. He says, yeah, I don't do surveys. Oh my God, that's fantastic. You're exactly the guy I need to survey. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. So, but you need that feedback. I would always read through. Here's another reason. And again, I'm talking more live, but it's just as true. And I've
for
done
the events,
it on electronic and webinars and everything else. I follow up on every survey, including the ones who said, no, I'm not interested. Right? Why? From an experience I had in Michigan, I gave a talk, and in those days, my program was about $35,000. And that was a lot of money in 1982. Bunch of attorneys in the audience and others, and they did the survey, I collected them, got back to my hotel room, and I went through the names, and I started calling them, right? Because I was still in town. Hi, how'd you like the event? I'm probing to see if there's a response. I get an attorney on, and I say, hi, you know, how was, he says, yeah, well, it was pretty good. I say, okay, well, you know, I do a lot of work, and I explained everything. And I said, now, are you interested in my program? And he said, yeah, tell me about it. Okay, great. So I told him all about it, blah, blah, blah. Boom, $35,000, meeting for lunch. I'll give you a check. Great. Hung up the phone. In those days, you hung up the phone? Right, okay. So I then went back to look at his survey and make some notes on it. And guess what he said in the survey? No.
Wow.
Are you interested in my services? No. Wow, that's weird. That was 12 hours ago, 24 hours ago. I called him back. And I said, hi, I forgot to ask you something. And this is what made me a believer. I forgot to ask you something. In the survey, you said no. But you just agreed to do my program for $35,000. He said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, you know, I got home and my wife said, how was the seminar? And I said, well, you know, it was pretty good. The guy said, you know, this, this, and this. She said, well, it sounds like what you need. Huh. So, yeah, so that kind of changed my mind. And then I asked the $1 million question. If I didn't call you, would you have called me? I don't know. I don't know means no.
No, correct.
Right? So that one thing, that's why if they were there in front of me, it's either they're signing up now or next week or next year. One way or another, they're going to come on board. Maybe I have to find the right lower level entry point for them. Right? So that's what automation is, which you know so much about.
Right.
Is where is this guy? What do I have to do to start him? And how do I bring him up? Bring him up the value ladder so that, you know, he's full blown.
Right. So he agreed to pay $35,000 and then he said he's not interested in services.
No.
Or the other way around.
No. He on the survey.
He said no.
Survey, he said no.
You reached out.
Then when I called him, he said yes. But it was 24 hours later.
So the follow-up process, it's money left on the table. It literally is money left on the table if you don't reach out to this person. Period.
Do marketing with a passing parade, not a standing army. People change their minds. The guy who said no last night, tomorrow, he's been thinking about it all night.
Wow. So let me repeat that. You do marketing with a passing parade, not a standing army. Quote by Artie Marin. That is
They're amazing. Changing. They're moving. Yeah, I went to a seminar, he says to his opinion leader friend. I went to a seminar last night. Yeah. Oh, what'd the guy have to say? Well, you know, the main thing was XYZ. And his friend says, oh, that's brilliant, man. Wow. Can you say that again? And right now he's thinking, maybe I better relook at this. Right. So it wasn't enough with me, but he's got this opinion leader, this mentor who's very high on it. Therefore,
that's why repetition of the message is so important, because right. People are in different steps of the journey. Some people change their minds daily. Some people are going to take weeks. Some people take months. Who knows how long? But I get people here already that buy things from me for the first time, even though they've been seeing me for years without never giving me a penny. Exactly. But now they sign up for something. Literally just this last Tuesday, somebody walked into this building for the first time ever. Somebody in person for the first time ever, and he's been consuming my content for a good 5 years. Webinars after seminars after all kinds of things, never giving me a penny. But finally, because we kept on communicating, he shows up, he pays, he becomes a client.
Right.
It's you never know.
Follow-up is high CQ. IQ is great. CQ is care quotient. Why am I following up? Because I want a sale? Because I need the money?
Because you care about the person.
I care about the person and I have something they need. That's where the power is.
It's a responsibility over the others, right? It's just like, it's almost like as a marketer, the really good marketers really care about helping that other person solve their problems with their services and their products. And because you have that care, you almost lose sleep over not reaching enough people. Right. And that's like the obsession over reaching and impacting people. You and I, it's crazy, but we've been in similar worlds for a long time, you for way longer than me, but we have the same philosophy. And I think that's why it's so nice to talk to each other, because we believe in the same concepts. we have the same marketing overall strategy, and it's right. powerful. So
I just did a video not long ago, which I called Doing Things for the Right Reasons. You know, here's another marketing thing. A guy says to me, this is one of my marketing seminars. He said, well, I heard that the way to get more clients is to join these clubs. So I joined the Rotary and the Kiwanis and the Chamber of Commerce. I haven't gotten any business yet. What am I doing wrong? I said, why did you join those clubs? To get business.
Correct.
I see. That's why you don't have any.
Instead of to help.
What do you like to do? I said to him. He said, well, I collect antique cars. Okay. Is there an antique car club in town? Yeah. Are you a member? No, I'm too busy with the Kiwanis and the Rotary and the... You have to do things for the right reasons. If you're doing things like clubs and activity, whether it's on the internet or not, you start getting involved in those clubs, they can smell it. If you're there as a vendor, right? No, forget that. Where are your interests? What do you like? You like flying? Good. Join the goddamn flying clubs and don't worry about money, because if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you will attract the attention that you want.
Wow. That's great. Artie, did you, when you were reading my book, were you like surprised about how similar our philosophy is?
Oh, of course. But again, you got to keep in mind, I was reading your book to learn.
Right.
You see, you know, that's why I was able to tell you, hey, you know, I'm waiting for the meat. Where is this? I was hungry.
Right.
So you gave me a radish and a piece of lettuce and, you know, and you kept saying, you won't believe the steak that's coming. You know,
but the steak was taking long to cook.
Yeah.
To be presented.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, when I got to it, it's like, yeah, I'm taking my notes. Right.
This is good stuff. Yeah. I'm going to repeat what Artie just said. High CQ. You just said that a minute ago. High care quotient. I'm going to start like stealing some of this stuff from you already.
Yeah, sure.
This is some good stuff. High care quotient. The more you have this high care for people, the more you're going to succeed in the game of business. That's just the way it is. I can tell you that from the clients that we service, thousands of people by now in our marketing agency, both students and clients, the one common denominator between all failing clients, the ones that don't succeed with us, no matter whether we dropped the ball or they dropped the ball or their products and services were not good, their high CQ was not there. They didn't care enough about the clients. They didn't care enough about the services. They didn't care about having people solve problems with their products and services. They wanted one thing. They wanted money to be deposited in their bank accounts.
Right. They're doing it for the money.
That's right. The ones that succeed at scale are the ones that care about people more.
The best marketing programs I ever did had nothing to do with marketing. Meaning, when you look at a company, one of my trick questions from my marketing seminar is, they're all at a marketing seminar. I say, okay, in a company, what is the most important function? And a lot of people, it's kind of a trick question because they're at a marketing summit, so it's, well, marketing. Okay, but what are you marketing? Well, I'm marketing, you know, my product. Well, if you didn't have a product, there wouldn't be much marketing. And I kind of steer them over to the fact that it's all about exchange. It's all about what are you producing, service or thing, that you're putting in their hands for which they're paying you.
Wow.
Right? So the best marketing program I ever did was reorganizing the company so that it can have more traffic, right? You ever have a client come to you and say, no, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't handle what I've got. They're overloaded.
100%.
So it's making it possible to have more ability to handle the traffic. And then you want that sweet, what I call sweet tension line. And the sweet tension line is marketing is saying, handle my guys and handle them well. And production is saying, I need more people. So you got this, they're under the gun, because the worst thing that happens is marketing, it works. The AGM, people are getting business, good. And then the owner or the production people or the delivery people, you know what they say? Well-meaning, they're at lunch. They say, oh my God, you know, we are so overloaded. We are so backed up, man. Unbelievable. You know, you remember that guy you sent me last week? I haven't even gotten to him. I'll get to him tomorrow, I swear. And marketing goes slow up a little bit. They're happy to slow down and not be so under pressure, right? But that's the wrong thing to do, right? You never allow marketing to dictate, you know, and you it's a team, right? That should be covered in the meeting, which is, listen, I'm getting overloaded. Marketing, the owner or somebody, the organizer says, okay, what do you need? What do you need? Because I'm going to tell you, marketing is going to drive in more business this week, which is kind of a message to marketing, right? So we're not slowing down. So what do we have to do? And because if they get the option, if production gets the option, or marketing gets the option to slow down and not push, they'll slow down.
100%.
So that's how that works.
That's great. Artie, we can talk for hours and hours and hours. Being a marketing legend, one of the ones that I respect the most in this world, I would love to hear you define marketing in your own words.
On the spot. Okay.
On the spot.
To me, it's the recognition and understanding, full understanding of the public in terms of their wants and needs, how to reach them copy-wise and emotionally to elicit the fastest response possible. And then take them on a journey that they can handle. Meaning, I mean, I got programs that are $187,000. And somebody called and said, hey, I'm interested in your work. I said, oh, okay, let me show you my $187,000 program. They don't even know me yet. So what happens? They buy a book for $20. And then you build and you build. It's building. And people who are in a rush to close it now forget one thing. The person they're talking to feels it. They're not comfortable. They feel pressed. They feel put upon. Right? And that can blow the relationship right there. You see.
Wow.
So that's my scope of what that's about.
I liked how you said recognition of the audience. Right? You got to really understand who they are. Because if you think about the size of the planet and the billions of people in it, I always say that it's very likely that most people are not interested in what you have to offer. Most people. So you got to find the correct audience. You got to understand what they're feeling, what they're thinking, what their needs and wants is, and how you go about finding that person. And that's essential. And that's part of marketing, because it's not just only about the messaging. It's not about the copy and it's not about the email. It's about finding the person that needs your solution.
Exactly. Let me share a survey with you that you can use immediately, because for you, this is really premium stuff. You've got the facility. You've got the communication lines to pull this off. And it's called a panel survey.
The panel survey.
I love panel surveys. I'm going to tell you why. Panel survey is where you're going to get a cross-section of your public, right? Or your perceived public. So you get an older person, a younger person, a woman, a man, a painter, and a house painter, and a guy who's got a big company, and so on. Okay, we put them in a room. Okay, you even got the window there, but you hook the room up so that you can hear, but you're not in the room. You have a facilitator, okay, who sits down. And he says, okay, AGM, marketing, what do you think? And one guy says, well, I don't know. Another one says, oh, I love marketing, but I only do postcards. And the whole idea, what you're looking at, what I call a V, which is they start and everybody's got different opinions and blah, blah, and that's fine. A facilitator who knows what they're doing is able to steer it, because what we're after is the common denominator. There's a magical thing in a panel that after a while, if the person knows what they're doing, they will come to a point and somebody will say, well, yeah, but it's all about return on investment. And then suddenly they come alive and they will go, yeah, that's right. You know, that's what it's about. I never did marketing because I couldn't get the return on investment. Okay, well, thank you very much for coming. You know, we gave you lunch. You know, here's $50, whatever. And now you got to... pretty good certainty that you've got a button, you've got a message. Now, how do you put that out there?
Return on investment.
You see, now you've got return on investment, and you're going to sculpt that in various ways, right? What represents a return on investment? What is it? You know, and you're going to be pretty successful. But it's a great survey because it's live. It's right there. And not only that, but you can pull on their answer. So somebody says, pull on a return on investment. Oh, what do you mean by that? How much have you spent? What did you, you know, you can, you're trying to get down, you know, kind of into what I call that V, where you're starting broad, but then you get that point right at the bottom. Boom, now you got it.
And we can do this live because we have people coming in here like, every single time that we do a workshop here, we have 100 people, 50, 150 people.
You could pull out of the people who registered, pull an assortment of 6 or 7 or 8, right? Say, hey, listen, come a half an hour early and you got the event for free, or I'm going to give you a free CD or whatever, right?
I'm going to give you a free book.
Free book, come a half an hour early, 45 minutes early. So they come early, you put them in the room and you run this. And if you did it 2 or 3 times, and then each time is coming up with the same bottom line, you can take that to the bank.
That becomes your marketing strategy. Yeah. That becomes your campaign that you go after.
Right.
That's brilliant, Artie. I want to take this opportunity to let everybody know, I just got Artie booked for a workshop at AGM Marketing. And if you want to sign up and save your seat in person or over the internet, we're going to be able to stream this event too. You can go to moneymakingworkshops.com/Artie. That's A-R-T-E. And save your seat right there. So moneymakingworkshops.com/Artie is going to be your link to save your seat. Artie, we have so much to talk about. We can talk about this for hours and hours and hours. I know that Laws of Management is a book that they can find. If they want to learn more about your business mind and your marketing mind, it's there. I know you also have these Wednesday sessions. Is that something that's open to the public?
Yeah, that's 16 minutes for success. And 60 minutes to success. Anybody who wants to get invited, they can contact you or they can send something to me, support@artmarin.com, right? And I'll get them invited.
support@artmarin.com. You can send a request to be a part of this thing. Every Wednesday,
yeah, it's free,
at 1 p.m. Eastern time.
1 to 1:16.
16 minutes of success.
Right. Starts at 1, exactly. Ends at 1:16, exactly. Boom. You know how long it takes me to put that on? Probably research and study 4 hours.
4 hours, and then you deliver it in 16 minutes,
right,
in a way that people can digest it,
right,
and apply it, and exactly, it's practical.
One point that leads to the next point, which leads them to an expansion of their business or their life or some facet, because that's why I do it.
It's amazing. Anyways, anybody that's in this podcast right now, still almost an hour into it, around an hour, they have the right mindset. They're trying to learn. They're trying to improve and get better. That's absolutely the way to go about it. I always say to people that the only reason you haven't built a million-dollar business is because you don't know how to build a million-dollar business. So why don't you go out there and see how people that have built million-dollar businesses have done it, so you can learn and you can build your million-dollar business. It's so commonsensical that it's... That's what people missed out. They complain about life. They complain about the economy, the governments, the COVID environments, whatever that may be. And they don't realize that the formula is very simple, Artie. Is connect with the people that are doing it, that are winning in life, learn from them, give them value, and do some of the things that they're saying yourself.
All right. We should explain to the listeners, too, that my name is spelled A-R-T-E and the last name M-A-R-E-N. Where did A-R-T-E come from? Was I born with A-R-T-E? No. I was born with the name Author. Okay. And the short version of Author is Artie. And Artie is A-R-T-I-E. Being sensitive to marketing and selling big programs of marketing and management, I didn't think people would buy programs from an Artie. Artie is you go next door and you borrow their hammer. Okay? So I had a problem with that. And then Author was too stuffy, right? So I didn't know what to do, and I played with that a while. Then I went to England, and I studied over in England for 2 years. And marketing, I was actually distributing dictionaries and all of that. While there, I would meet English people, and they'd say, "What's your name?" And I'd say, "Artie." And they say, "Oh, Hardy? No, Artie. Oh, like Artie Murphy? No, no. R-T. Oh, R-T. R-T. The problem with that is that I'm from the Bronx. And in the Bronx, if somebody said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Artie," you know, that doesn't work, really. So I decided, I tried the next day, and I said, "My name is Art." "Oh, Art. Okay." So I didn't like A-R-T. And this was at a year's, this was in the 80s, when a lot of people were known by first names.
Mm.
Okay. So I thought, wait a minute, I'm going to be A-R-T-E. And I started using that when I would call on gigs and all of that. And they'd say, "What's your name?" And I'd say, "A-R-T-E, Art." "What's your last name?" "No, just Art." And it became known as, "Oh, that guy with the E, you know, A-R-T-E." And of course, that's on my card. If you see my calling card, it's all my signature.
Artie.
And it just says A-R-T-E.
Some people call you Art just by itself?
Some people call me Art, some Artie. And when I'm in Europe, it's Arte.
Mm.
Which I like. I like that.
If you're in Puerto Rico, it's going to be Arte.
That's right.
So slightly right. Variations of Beautiful. The accent.
Yeah,
awesome. I love it, Artie. Thank you so much for being here on the show today.
Okay.
I think it's going to help a lot of people. It's helped me for sure. I always learn from you when I get to sit down with you for a little while. So I'm excited to have a chance to collaborate and work with you a little and learn from you and just absorb a little bit of that incredible knowledge. So again, Artie.
And I'm happy to answer questions also if they want to send it to support@artmarin.com.
Okay, remember how you spell that? A-R-T-E-M-A-R-E-N. All right, support@artmarin.com. All right, Artie, thank you for being here. Any final message for the audience listening in?
You know, the rule is know your audience.
You got to know your audience. You got to understand what they're trying to solve so you can go out there and present it in a way that they understand that you're going to solve that problem for them. That by itself is power. Just applying that is going to make your time worth it today. So again, if you want to save your seat at Artie's workshop here at AGM Marketing, go ahead and check out. The date is going to be announced shortly. Go to moneymakingworkshops.com/Artie, A-R-T-E. And I'll see you there. Talk soon. Thank you, Artie.
You're welcome.